Hebrews chapter 4. We're all glad that God is God. No one else could hold that position, only He. I think one of the remarkable things about God is, actually two, one is that He always existed. Before the world was, there was God. Before mankind, before anything, all there was God. And the other thing was, I just am intrigued with God's foreknowledge. God knows what's going to happen in the future before it ever happens. Isn't that amazing? That is absolutely incredible. God knew you before you got saved, and yet He loved you while you weren't saved. God loved you before you pulled the prank that you did. God loved you before you decided to backslide, even though He knew you were going to backslide. It's just amazing at who this incredible, incredible entity is. I mean, have you ever tried to measure the love of God? How deep is it? How wide is it? How vast is the love of God? I mean, look. He loves you. That's got to be saying a lot. He loves you unconditionally. Unconditionally. In other words, go ahead. Stick your foot in your mouth, He'll still love you anyway. Go ahead, drop out of church, He'll still love you anyway. Go ahead, quit reading your Bible. He'll still love you anyway. Do you realize that God loved Jonah when he was in the belly of the fish? When he was on his way to run from the call of God, God still loved him anyway. It's the love of God that brings us back who stray away. We get our own ideas. And so often, they don't coincide with God's will. So we do our own thing, and we get into trouble. The most critical thing in life is having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I say to you, nothing else matters. For when you have a relationship with Jesus, you'll always be where you ought to be. You'll always have Him in the center of your heart. The world around you can collapse, but you and Jesus are one. And that's all that matters. My summation of life is, find God and hang on. Find God and hang on. One man asked me one time, he said, well, how's life treating you? I said, terrible. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, he said. He didn't ask the right question. If he'd asked me how the Lord was treating me, I would have said, great. Life won't ever be fair. Life won't ever be fair. We'll always somehow get dealt a raw deal. And somehow we find a way to just blame God. When in reality, God told us it would come. Sometimes God lets things come into our lives just to push us a little closer to Him. You see, just to push us a little closer to Him. I'd like you to notice this incredible thing here in verse number 1 of chapter 4, where the Bible says, let us therefore... what? Fear. So who's supposed to be fearing? Us. Okay? All of us together. Let us, therefore, fear lest. Lest a promise being left us of entering into His, and say the next word, rest. Now this word, this four-letter word, is one of the most dynamic, most powerful, most workable word in the Word of God. For it is where the child of God is supposed to be. It is where the child of God is supposed to be. Where is that? At rest. At rest. You'll notice he says that any of you should seem to come short of it. He said, now you need to fear. You need to fear God, do His will, so that you'll be at rest in your spirit. You see, a man who serves God is a man who is at rest. A man who follows the will of God is at rest. A man who will say, yes, Lord, is a man who will have peace in his heart. Who will yield to all the commands that God gives. There's peace. There's rest. In his heart. This is a big deal to God, and he's telling us that it's a big deal to you too. He says in verse 2, For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. There's some people that the word of God was preached to, it didn't make any difference for them. It was no profit to them. Not at all. Why, when they heard the Word of God preached, they walked out and they shrugged their shoulders, and it did not make an impact in their life. And why was that? Well, God just presents the answer. He said, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. In other words, they didn't mix faith with the preaching of the Word of God. They didn't mix faith with the preaching of the Word of God. Now, God tells us that if faith is ever going to happen, you're going to have to generate it. You're going to have to make it happen. How much of us have faith? How much do we have faith in our heart, life, and soul? This is major. This is huge. Simply because unless we apply the faith, then the gospel preached will not benefit us. And that can happen even in a room like this, where the Word of God goes forth, some will be blessed, and some will just say, well, at least I was in the house of God today. Why? Because faith was not applied. But what is faith? What is faith? Well, you know what faith is, right? It's believe. Eh? Believe. Or, why I'm not sure I understand that. Well, here it is. Here it is. Trust. How about that? Isn't that good? Just trust. You know, I have found that the average person doesn't know how to make faith work. I mean, what is faith? How do you do it? How do you do faith? Well, you believe. Well, how do you make believe work? How do you make believe work? Well, you know, trust. Ah, trust. How do you do that? What's the actual mechanics of trust? How do you describe to somebody, well, now here's how you trust. Here's what you do. You see, faith, believe, and trust. Those are all good words. But so few know how to make it happen. So few can find the key to turn it on and say, okay, I'm doing it. What are you doing? Hey, I'm exercising faith. I am. What is that? Well, I'm not sure I know. And so often we fall into this pit of despair. Notice now verse 3 takes over. It says here, for we, that's us, for we which have believed, for we which have believed, here it comes, do enter into, what's the word? Rest. For we which have believed do enter into rest. So, a couple of years ago, I had an opportunity to sit at the table of a song leader of the church that I was preaching a revival meeting for. And this is the song leader, and I was trying to help him get past him doubting his salvation. That's the song leader. Can you imagine that song, your song leader doubting his salvation? Have you ever met anybody who doubted their salvation? Yes. Well, there might be somebody in this room who doubts their salvation. It could be. It could be. I've met a few paranoid folks who just simply say, well, you know, I don't really know. I'm not really sure. I don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt if I die, then I'd go to heaven. I did all that has been told for me to do. I did this. I prayed. I asked. I believed. I put my heart in. And I just don't know. I just don't know. And so I went through the process. And I said, well, you just need to have faith. Got it. But I already knew that. Faith. Well, what is that? Well, you know, believe. Well, of course. I mean, how do you believe? You just sit there and grit your teeth. I am trying to believe. Okay, how do you do that? How do you believe? And I said, you know, trust. So what are we doing? Well, we're going around in circles and we're not achieving a thing. We're not accomplishing a thing. Somehow we have to know how faith works. Somehow we have to know how believe works. How trust works. How do you turn on the switch? How do you make it happen? How do you actually exercise what faith is? And the answer is right there in the same verse. He says, for we which have believed do enter into, and say the word, rest. So can I say to you, the Word of God is actually telling us, here's the action of believing. Here's the action of faith. Here's the action of trust. It is rest. Wow. Is that profound or what? I'm actually resting in what God said. I am resting in the fact that I know that I trusted Jesus as Savior. I know that I prayed and He came into my heart and saved my soul. I am at peace in my heart. I am rested in my soul. I don't wonder. I don't worry. I don't doubt. For I am at rest. I am at peace with the Lord. It's too bad that everybody sitting in the church pew is not at rest in their heart. Well, preacher, if you were in my life, you'd know turmoil. You'd know that things are on edge. Every day that I get up, I'm on edge here. I'm on edge there. Stuff happens. In my life, preacher, it's hard to rest. start to rest inside here. And this is that rest that God's talking about that happens inside us. It's that spiritual part of our existence where we need to rest. I'd like you to go with me to the book of Colossians, if you would, chapter 3. The book of Colossians, chapter 3. And it says in verse 15, the Bible says, and let the next word, what's that say? Peace. And let the peace of God, what? What's that next word? Rule. Hey, that's a current word today. I mean, we like to use that word, rule, right? Church rules. God rules. Grandpa rules. That's a terminology we understand. And so here, the peace of God rules in our heart. To say that I have peace in my heart, the peace of God, he said, which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. I saw a lot of folks walk into the door of the building today, and here you are. You're all sitting. You know, this is a miracle all by itself. Because you came from a busy life, didn't you? Well, maybe your minds are still out there, busy doing all of this other stuff while you're sitting in here, not at rest. But it's a miracle that you would come and sit here in the house of God, giving the appearance that your body is at rest. But your soul and your spirit need to be at rest. And while you walked in this building this morning, how many of you just had a thankful spirit? A thankful spirit. Or maybe we didn't have a thankful spirit. Maybe we thought the world owed us something. Maybe we thought we got a raw deal. Maybe we came to the conclusion that life's unfair. It's treating us in a bad way. And I don't understand how come I got to go through all this stuff. It's not an abnormal mindset, an abnormal spirit, an abnormal thought or process. And so God, it's a miracle, brings you into this place. And He literally here is to say to you, you need to be thankful. We've been given the command that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Is that a command? Yes. How many of you are able to do that every day? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you very much, Lord. Whatever it is, in everything. What's a part of everything? Well, that would be all things, right? No matter how they may seem negative or positive, in everything give thanks. Thank you, Lord. I don't understand some of these things. But Lord, You know best. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. Thank You so much. And we can only be thankful from a rested spirit. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Is there peace with God? Eh? Is there peace with God? Hi, yes. Wouldn't you like to be with Him there now and not have to be in this place of turmoil? It's a knockdown battle. You just get up and you wonder if you're going to get to the end of the day. And when you do, you know that, hey world, I'm a survivor. I'm a survival. It's a survival of the fittest is the mindset. As the battle rages and goes forward day in and day out, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Look, when you establish a relationship with Jesus Christ, how do you have opportunity to doubt that you're saved? When you're in love with God, how do you doubt that you're saved? When you rest in the promise of God's Word, how can you doubt that you're saved? How can you doubt? How can you doubt? Then you'll also notice with me, as we look here to Jeremiah chapter 6, please. Yes, the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 6, if you'll turn with me. And as we notice here, chapter 6 and verse number 16. Chapter 6, verse 16, the Word of God, the Bible says thus, "Thus saith the Lord, stand." We just sang that song. Stand up for Jesus. Why do we sing that song? Because so few people do. And we probably wouldn't if we didn't sing a song like that once in a while. To be reminded that we need to stand up for Jesus. Stand up, he says here. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way. Stand. Notice that. Stand and see where is the good way. Even the Bible acknowledges there's the good way, which indicates that there's also a bad way. If there's a good way, there's got to be a bad somewhere. Somewhere. And isn't it amazing that parents always have to tell their children to be good? Now, you be good. You be a good boy, right? You be a good girl. You never have to tell them, say, "Now, I want you to be a bad boy." You never have to tell them that. It's something you were born with. They automatically know how to be a bad boy. So, think on this now. I mean, the reality is absolutely this. He's actually saying, this. I mean, this is amazing. He said, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? The old paths is the good way. Is the good way. Is the good way. So often we're surrounded by a new and living way. A new this and a new that. Yes, in the Word of God, we're new in Christ Jesus. But you got to go to the old book. The old paths. Where the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ is as it has been in generation after generation after generation. And now we get to live this brand new life that we live. Yet, the fact is, the old paths, where is the good way? And then he tells us, now, when you find the old paths, walk therein. Isn't that what it says? Walk. Walk in the old paths. Go ahead. When you find them, get in there. Get in there. Why? What happens when you get in there? And he notice this. He says, "And ye shall find what?" Say the word. Rest. Ye shall find rest for your what? Souls. That's what a child of God needs for his soul, is to be at rest. Walking in the old paths. Stand ye in the ways. Get up and stand for the Lord. I know not many are these days. Not many are. You're one of the more, I don't know what you'd say, one of the neatest churches that I get a chance to go to. I get to preach in churches where on one Sunday I was in two different churches, and in both those churches there was two people besides the pastor and his family in the congregation. How would you call that, a small church? You have a lot to be thankful for. I mean, there's a lot of folks here today. You're a blessing. You're an encouragement, especially when the pastor's gone. I mean, it's just such a neat thing to see you here in the house of God. I mean, most churches I go to are probably half the size and smaller. But they need encouragement. They need the preaching of the Word of God. And that's why churches like you who support me, I can now get to go to these places who can't do for me what you can. So therefore, I minister to these folks. And it's tough for them to stand up in a world where so few people will join them. Just a handful. It's kind of scary to stand up when there's hardly anybody else around you standing with you. You feel like you've already become a target, and you are. But you find rest in God when you stand in the ways. Walk therein and you find rest. Find rest for your soul, don't you see? This is what the Lord wants in our life. Do right, for it's a place of rest. Do the things that most people won't do that God tells us to do. Follow His will. It's against our nature. It's not natural. It's not normal. But it's a place that as a child of God, you find rest to your soul. You find rest to your soul. Listen, this is God's answer to the need of your questions, to the need of your speculations, to the need of your concerns, to the need of your confusion. God is here to set it straight. How many of you need to be set straight? God is here to correct us, to line us up to do that which is right. And He's got the right way. It's the Word of God. Don't ever think that there's an alternative plan, because the alternative plan can't ever be the answer. It can't ever be the answer. It's just simply going the wrong way. Jonah chose the alternative plan. He decided when he ran, he got up and he went to flee from God. You ever met a man running from God? I mean, what do they look like? Do you know what it feels to run from the Lord? Do you know what it feels to give only God just a little bit of your life? Just a little bit? And you're still not happy? You want to know why that is? Because you haven't found the good paths. And you haven't walked therein to find rest for your soul. To find rest for your soul. Tonight, I say to you, Sunday morning crowd, tonight, there's church. What time is it, brother, tonight? 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. God's people will meet again. I'm telling you, when you come to church, even on 6 o'clock on Sunday night, you find rest for your soul. Why? Because you're at God's appointed place at God's appointed time. Absolutely. Faithfulness. Is that the will of God? Be faithful. That's where you find rest to your soul. Be faithful. That is the will of God. Go with me to Exodus 33. Exodus 33, please. I'm nearly done now. In the book of Exodus 33, as we notice here, notice with me, please, the Word of God so proclaims this, I'm going to go to verse number 14 in Exodus 33. Verse number 14, here's the Word of God. It says this, a very simple and a very short verse. And He said, My presence shall go with thee. This is God speaking to the nation of the people. And He said, and I will give thee, what? What's the word? Rest. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Say, if you're where God wants you to be, your soul is at rest with Him. If you've talked with God this morning, your soul is at rest with Him. If you are convinced you're a born-again child of God, believing in His Word, trusting in His promise, your soul is at rest with Him. So I appeal to you folks this morning. There may be somebody here that's not saved. And maybe you've been telling people that you are, and you have no peace in your heart, none whatsoever. You're just beside yourself. Look, you either put rest in your faith toward God, or you get saved. You don't want to live another day without being saved. Don't live another day without accepting Jesus as your Savior. Don't do it. Just find a place where you can have rest in your heart, even in the midst of a world that's in turmoil. Come, get saved! And for those of you who are saved, you're unhappy. Why? Some of you who are struggling in your life, wrestling. Some of you who are coming into the place in your life where you're not what you ought to be for the Lord. Things that you need to work on in your life. Surrender to God. Submit to Him. Find rest for your soul. That's the place where God wants you to be. And that's where you won't find happiness until you come to this place. Until you take this moment that God presents to you. Come, find rest for your soul. Shall we bow our heads? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed, no one's looking around. And I would ask you this morning, how many of you know that you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you die that you'd go to heaven? Would you raise your hand in the name of the glory of the Lord and hold it there? Please don't put it down. Please keep it there. You know that you're saved. What a glorious sight. Amen, amen, amen. Praise be to God. You may put your hands down. Anyone here say, preacher, I don't know for sure. I just don't know, and I'd like to know for sure. I don't have that peace. I'd like that peace. That if I know for sure, if I die, that I'd go to heaven. Anybody like that, you'd raise your hand nice and high. Yes, I see your hand. Is there someone else? Preacher, pray for me. God spoke to my heart. I don't know for sure. I want that peace. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone like that? Preacher, pray for me. Anyone else? Anyone else? You'd raise your hand and say, I don't know for sure. I see that hand. Yes, I do. Preacher, pray for me. God spoke to my heart. I need to settle this. I can't live another day. Not knowing for sure, I've got to settle this. Well, who then would raise your hand and say, preacher, here I am. I am a child of God, and I know God's not happy with where I'm at. I don't have rest in my heart like I ought to. And preacher, I know it can be fixed. And would you pray for me that it would be? Anyone like that should raise your hand. Yes, and yes, I see your hand, and yours, and yours, and yours too. And yes, I see your hand. And is there someone else say, preacher, God's dealing with my heart about finding rest in my heart. And I'm not there and I want to get there. Is there someone else? Preacher, would you pray for me? Who else? Yes, indeed. I see your hand and I see yours too. Who else would let me pray for them? Is there someone else? Let me pray for you. Is there yet another? Is there one more before I pray? Is there yet one more? Who else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for meeting with us here today. Thank you for an attentive A crowd of folks who came in the name of Jesus, who came knowing they were coming to church, who came knowing they were going to hear the preaching of the Word. Lord, thank you for individuals who would open their heart and their ear to receive unto themselves your will, your burden upon your heart, that you would clearly place before these fine and wonderful people what it is they need to take to do, to take action, to take steps, Lord, to confirm the peace that needs be there. And Lord, that you'd bless now in the very things that we need to do, taking the direction we need to go that you've already laid before us. Lord, give grace, give power, I pray thee, and give strength to those who need to come. Would you bless now in this invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.